The focus of world leaders, Donald Trump. Welcome to today's program. ThisPresentTruth.com is the website. Program is This Present Truth. Today is the 6th of March, 2026, Friday. The focus of world leaders is Donald Trump. And the world, with what is happening, or what is the bombing, the conflict with Iraq in the Middle East, with the oil embargo, the oil crisis, Strait of Hormuz. Donald Trump really is the focus of everything happening presently in the world. I'm going to explain, but before I do, before I get into a thought, there was a Colonel McGregor, and he was asked on a podcast if the United States and Israel can beat Iran. Yes, they could if that was the plan. That is not the plan. That's not the objective. And I guess I should explain that Persia, Iran, does have a destiny, and presently the United States and Iran in this present conflict, yes, in the future they will be involved, but presently, right now, no. This is going to settle down. It may, the conflict may, you know, like a forest fire, there may be some part of the forest that is still, you know, smoke, ashes, hot spots. But the main war with Iran is in the near future, with Russia and Turkey, Armenia, most likely Ukraine, in the North Africa, Libya, and the nation of Ethiopia and Somalia. They all have to work together in a battlefield in present-day Jordan. That is not happening right now. It's in the near future. This, you might say, that is happening with the conflict with the United States, Israel, and Iran is, you might say, setting things in motion. But no. Already, there is talk that Donald Trump has been behind the scenes visiting with the power structure in Iran to maybe bring about some type of de-escalation, maybe not a permanent truce, but maybe a truce, taking it from 100%, you know, possible World War III scenario down to maybe 15%. This is not World War III. Well, actually, it's not a world war. It'll be a regional war. You could say that it is maybe a third conflict apart from Afghanistan and what happened in Libya. It will be much more, a much bigger conflict in the new conflict that is coming, which could be World War III, which would be Russia, Iran, Turkey, Armenia, again, Ukraine, I believe. Like I stated in the previous two programs, Vladimir Zelensky is saying that he has personnel, experts at drone shooting down, eliminating drones out of the air, and he's willing to send these technicians to the Middle East to shoot down Iranian drones, drone warfare. If President Putin of Russia would agree to maybe a 2-week or a month or a 2-month ceasefire. This would be a great opportunity for Zelensky to give his troops a little breathing room. Right now, the Ukrainian people are, what is the word? They're fatigued. They're totally fatigued. They're worn out, body, soul, and spirit, physically, mentally, mind, emotion, and will. They're destroyed in the spirit, in their hearts, in their consciences. They're fatigued. And this would give Zelensky a little room to, a little time to let his people and the soldiers rest and rearm and get Germany and France and England. The English, Britain, is one of the greatest culprits in the evil of our time. They are centered evil of the last 150 years. Yes, the United States, but Britain working with empire. Britain is not an empire any longer. The United States is. Britain needs the United States, needed the United States after World War II to patrol the oceans so that the building materials that were needed to come from the United States, steel, aluminum, extra, etc., could get to England and to Europe so that they could rebuild. America had to patrol the seas in Asia, in the Indian Ocean, Southern Atlantic, Pacific, Northern Pacific, Antarctica, Arctic, the Arctic. The British, the mother of the great harlot, America, is being punished. The royals are being punished. King Charles has cancer. His children, the two boys, one maybe not his, are being, the house of divided cannot stand. The leaders in the city of London, they are right now trying to find a way to get rid of the Orange Man. But the Orange Man has them running. Then we find out the possibility that just like with so many leaders in this country, like Bill and Hillary, they're Rockefellers. Hillary is not a Rodham. Bill is not a Clinton. They're Rockefellers, children of the Rockefeller dynasty. And it could be, and it most likely is, and it is almost, the proof is that Charlie, big-eared Charlie, King of England, is actually the son of Nathan Rothschild. So the whole world as that we have seen, as we have perceived the world, is not what it appears to be. Can the U.S. and Israel beat Iran? No, that's not the plan. Iran and these other countries eventually will be punished in a piece of ground in the nation of Jordan as they come into the Middle East to surround Israel. And Israel, at that time that they come, Israel will hold the real estate, the title to the real estate of present-day Jordan. So that is my answer to Colonel McGregor. Then there is a Christian pastor. His name is John Hagee. John Hagee has been a supporter of Israel for, 40-plus years? Now, Hagee says that the Russia and China, there is a war in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and he says that that Ezekiel 38 and 39 conflict, which has never to this day ever occurred, it has not happened. It is for our time. It is for the present, maybe for this year, 2026. He says that Russia and China, this is the war of Armageddon. Hagee better stick to what he does, because he's polluting the prophetic understanding of God's plan for the nations and the timelines involved. I will say this about an individual. I think maybe some people in this audience would be familiar with Alex Jones. There is a thought, Alex, today on his program. I caught part of the today's Friday program. And he said that, like many pastors that I have been involved with in the past, their favorite saying, and this is what Jones has picked up, Alex has picked up, no man knows the day and the hour of Christ's return. My answer to that is the Bible and the Scriptures, which I won't have time to get into. You have to go to my programs on the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. I go into detailed timelines. We can know the year. We can know the season. We can know the month. We can know the year. We can know if it's going to be spring or fall. And if it is in the summer or fall, if it's in the summer, it would be late summer in September. If it's in the fall, it could be the first month it could be November. But we can know the year, the season, the decade. It will happen in the next decade, not in this decade. Christ will not return in this decade. He will return in 2030, most likely 2033 in the fall. So John Hagee is saying that Russia and China, that war is the Armageddon war. No. At the completion of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, 7 years following, 7 years roughly in 2 months, let's say, we will have the war of Armageddon. The two wars are separate by the minimum amount of 7 years. Minimum. No less than 7 years apart. 7 years, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, maximum 90 days. But not within that 7 year period. So Russia, in this coming conflict with Iran, Ukraine, and with Armenia, Turkey, and the nations out of North Africa will occur. That war excludes China. China will watch from a distance. China may supply a bullet and a gun, but they will not be involved as a military force in that conflict. China has a different destiny, a different role to play in the future, 7 years plus out after the Russian war. I simplify it. It's Ezekiel 38-39 conflict. I just call it the Russian war with the allies, with the comrades, Arab and Islamic comrades. Then, in 2033, most likely, in the fall, in the late summer, you will have Armageddon. And Armageddon will be a war kind of from the north of Israel down to the south of Israel to an area called Basra. And it will be at that time that the armies of Antichrist will invade. They will be the religious armies. And Antichrist will begin an invasion into present-day Jordan, beginning at the south in an area called Basra, where the Indiana Jones, what was that, Temple of Doom? I don't remember. But it's a war that is not just in one valley. It is in a long, it's in a string, in a line, south to north. So I wanted to clear that up. John Hagee is mistaking Russia and China being the same war in this coming conflict. This war will simmer down. Russia has basically told the United States that they do not want us to continue to provoke or to continue the exercise in Iran. Vladimir Putin, I'm going to talk about Vladimir, but not right now, in the future, and not too long out into the future, maybe in the next day or two. Putin may be the final president of Russia if this war happens this year. Do I think it can happen this year? In Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says that when Russia and these armies come, they come like a storm, meaning something lightning fast, extremely quick, something hastened. In other words, there's like no time. It's like getting a victim, someone that has been involved in a car crash, and they need to get the victim to the hospital. There's a rush. There is a everything out of the way type of a scenario where everybody's got to move out of the way. The United States will have to get out of the way, and Europe will need to get out of the way. Everybody's got to move over, pull over, and let Russia and these nations come quickly, like a storm. I used the example in previous programs here in Colorado. We'd go out years ago when I was young, water skiing. Go out in the morning. Lake is like glass. Ski all morning, have breakfast. Ski during up to lunch. Ski in the afternoon, after lunch, 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We could see off on the distance, we could see clouds coming over the peaks to the west. Shucks, within 30 minutes, we'd have wind. Lake would get kind of choppy. Pretty soon, clouds were over, and we'd have to shut it down for the day within a matter of 45 minutes. That is what Ezekiel 38 and 39 is presenting concerning this conflict. It will happen very quickly. In the next 6 months, could this happen between now and the end of summer into September? Well, Ezekiel is saying that it happens like a storm. They come down like a storm from the west to the east, and you're being drenched, and there's hail, and there's wind, and the waves, you can't navigate on the waters. The wind is too strong. You're being swamped. The world is going to be swamped. Nations are going to be in panic, of which they already are. What we're seeing now presently is nothing. Nothing. So, yes, Christ, we can know the day. Is it a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? No, but we can know about, almost most likely, it'll be the last week in a month or the first week in another month. The day of that 7 or 8 day period, would we know if it's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? No. Will we know, will it be in the morning, will it be in the afternoon, in the evening, or at night? We might not know that day or hour, but we'll know the week, the month, the season, the year. And it won't be in 2020, in this decade. It will be in the first half of the next decade. So you have time to pay your bills, get out of debt, make sure little Fifi has enough to eat, make sure that Mittens doesn't get run over by a car. You have time to live, but you need wisdom to make the right decision in what's coming. So, now, the next question pertaining to my question about Donald Trump, or my observation. The focus of the world leaders presently, Vladimir Putin is focused on Donald Trump. Xi Jinping, the American people, the Democrats, the rhinos, Benjamin Netanyahu, all of the leaders of the Middle East, all of the leaders of Europe, of South America, of Africa. This man is the focus of the world presently. It's not the conflict in Iran. Why is it that I spend so much time focusing on these programs? Why do I focus on Donald Trump? You know, already in the last 2 or 3 days, there are many Christians that are talking about the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. They have different views, thoughts. And some say that it's a bunch of hogwash. It's not going to happen. Some are saying that this conflict in Iran presently is the Christian people who are foolish. I think as a Christian, some of the most foolish people are my own brothers and sisters in the churches in this country, and the pastors, a lot of them. They're some of the most corrupt. And I'm speaking to the evangelical church Christians and the Christians in the mega churches. These people don't have any logic given their wealth to be part of some movement, which all these movements are now being shaken. Joel Osteen, all of them. Because their vanity, they're a type of religion that vexes the spirit of man. These people cause attention to the Christian people. And the Christian people don't have any sense at all. It appears that they don't have any logic. I better not get started. But I'm going to go back to these Christians are saying that what Donald Trump is doing, he's been anointed by God to start this war so that Christ can return, so that he can bring Jesus back. The Christians, let's face it, the Christian people in the United States of America that have wealth and money and live in nice homes, they don't want the Lord to return. This is a bunch of, it's a fallacy. It is a deception. They don't want Christ to return. That's the last thing they want. Because if he's going to return, there's going to be 7 years plus of difficult times in all of our lives. So they don't want the Lord to return. Now, to try to trigger events to cause Christ to come sooner means that you're going to have extreme hardship. There's going to be, the economy is going to fail. There's going to be famine. There will be diseases, plagues, sickness. There will be bad weather. The oceans will swamp mega ships. The sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations will state that hardships are coming to the world. And it says also that there will be a rise in satanic witchcraft. Now, for those that are blind, let me help you see something. We use this individual that God has put in the focus of the people of the world. His name is Jeffrey Epstein. This is not accidental. Don't think God is not involved with bringing out the evidence of who this individual is. You look at all that is written about Judas Iscariot, the disciple, one of the 12 disciples. You look at everything written about Adolf Hitler and what he did and his atrocities, and Chairman Mao. And out of Russia, you had Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky. Then out of England, you had Woodrow Wilson. The guy was a pervert. He's a lowlife. People admire him, but he was lower than low. He just carried out plans for people. He was a nobody. But They have statues of this individual. Now, Donald Trump is not trying to trigger the return of Jesus Christ. He is fulfilling prophecy once again. In Job chapter, again, I have these ministries that I watch on YouTube that I might find on the internet. And they, one ministry, the individual, the pastor, I guess he's a pastor. I don't know if he's a Bible teacher, a pastor. I don't know what he is, but he brought out Job 36:6 and the details of Job 36:6. God destroys the wicked man. And the wicked man, he presented as Ali Khamenei. He was in power 36 years, 6 months. Job 36:6. And it says in Job that he destroys the wicked man to protect the innocent, meaning Israel. This individual, Khamenei, has caused Israel more conflict, more harm, more death, more misery, trauma, anxiety in the last 36 and a half years than any of the previous Ayatollahs. He is the Ayatollah that has caused Israel great distress. And God destroyed this wicked man. Also, there was another ministry came out with the prophecies in Jeremiah 49 about an area called Elam. Elam is the southwest portion of present-day Persia or Iran. Iran. And in those verses from, I think, 38 to 39, from 34 to 39, it says that this area is going to be, is the center of, the word was arrows, or military might. And that there'd be a time in the latter days when God would destroy and begin a punishment on that area. But eventually God will set his throne there because he's going to deliver millions of these Arabs that are in Islam to himself. And this has just happened. That area, Elam, has been the target in the last week plus of the military operations of the United States plus Israel. It's in the Bible. Donald Trump just basically, he was at the right place at the right time to be involved with the judgment of the wicked man, because the wicked man had something planned for Israel, and Trump is saying that maybe there was intel that Iran was just about ready to use some type of nuclear weapons. Because it does say in Job 36:6 that Israel had to be protected from the wicked man. So there was something that was going to be even more, the consequences would be greater. Would that be maybe biological? We don't know. So Donald Trump is not trying to start the return of the Lord. No, God is using Donald Trump, putting him at the right place at the right time to fulfill Bible prophecy, just like Donald Trump was president of the United States to fulfill an age-old prophecy in 1 Kings chapter 8, where King Solomon dedicated the temple. And then in the middle, at the end of that dedication, before he finishes addressing the Jewish people of that time, he says that a stranger would come to visit the land, and the stranger would acknowledge the God of Israel, Yahweh, and he would make and help make the name of Yahweh great throughout the world, which Donald Trump has fulfilled that prophecy. And that this stranger, this non-Jewish power, this individual had great power, like Solomon. He was on the same league as far as prestige and honor as King Solomon would give honor to the God of Israel, and he would pray toward the temple, which Donald Trump did do when he went to Jerusalem and prayed from a distance at the wall toward the temple, fulfilling that prophecy. The man would have, just like Solomon, he was an equal. He was a king. He had great honor, great dignity. He was ruling over a great people. He was an honorable individual, which you wouldn't think that's the case, but that's what the Bible says. So I'll tell you what the Bible says, so you'll have a different view of your president, of our president, that he would have great dignity, that he would be, it would be, he would have honor. He would be honored. And in that trip that he took, he was honored by every nation, every place that he went. He was treated with honor, with dignity, with respect. The Arabs in King Solomon's own palace, he had the integrity to tell the Islamic world, within your Islamic system, there are these individuals that are terrorists. They will destroy your kingdom. They'll destroy the president and his family, and they will destroy the people of the countries. And if you support this terrorism, I will cut off all your money. I will cut off your financing. You will not trade with me. You will not trade with the nations. King Solomon was speaking of an individual that had the same honor, spoke honorably of this individual. How would the individual come to Israel on Air Force One in a magnificent piece of technology? He would come. He would come and fly into Tel Aviv. And he would immediately go to the temple, fulfilling prophecy. Prophecy going back to the time of King Solomon. On the day that the temple was built, that king spoke of Donald J. Trump in the future. And what would Donald Trump do? He would pray toward the temple that King Solomon was dedicating. This is who Donald J. Trump is. From God's perspective, from the perspective of the Bible, not man's logic, not man's perspective, but King Solomon addressed this stranger as an individual who would bring great honor to the God of Israel by praying toward the temple and acknowledging the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is who King, this stranger, this individual who is not a Jewish individual. And he would, this individual would in the future state that Jerusalem would be the capital of the nation of Israel. This is what the stranger does. The God puts him and his God. He could not give honor to the Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unless he knew that God. Solomon finishes. He says, "And Lord, Yahweh, who hears the voices of your people and the voices of the people that pray to you, answer this man's requests, what he asks of you, Yahweh. Answer his prayers." In other words, he would be a man who did petition God on behalf of mankind. And that day he scribbled on a little piece of paper, put that paper in the wall, and the minute he left that area, I don't know who how fast these people run. But immediately, somebody snatched that little piece of paper and opened it up to see what it said. And it said, "Lord, give me wisdom." That's what the request of the king, the stranger king from a distant nation, prayed. "Lord, give me wisdom." The same thing that Solomon prayed when he became king. This king would come from the United States of America on Air Force One, land in Saudi Arabia, where the children of Ishmael have become the dwellers of the land. And the prophecies concerning Ishmael, he would be a great people. There would be dukes and princes, and they'd be wealthy. And here, Donald J. Trump is in this magnificent, beautiful silver gold palace speaking to all of the children of Ishmael, of Isaac, of Esau, all of these families of Moab, Ammon, Edom, which would be Jordan, Syria, would be Gaza, Lebanon, nations out of North Africa, Qatar, Dubai, all of them. All the families would be there, fulfilling Bible prophecy. God sent this Christian man who knew God to the Arab nations to tell them, "You're destroying yourselves by allowing this hatred to consume you. If you support it, I will cut you off." Who is he to go into the palace of King Solomon? And King Solomon doesn't restrict him. Freedom of speech in an Arab country, and you don't have, we're curtailing freedom of speech in this country. What hypocrites. The society of hypocrite rulers. Then what does he do? He flies from Riyadh to Israel, to all 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now everyone in there, in that setting, were they all Jewish people? Maybe not. But I know that there were DNA, pure DNA, from all of the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. And he goes to all of the sons of Jacob. He goes to the Holocaust Museum, and he speaks to Jacob's children. Many don't believe that can happen. It happened. The Bible says it was going to happen. It did happen. Then he goes to speak to the leader of Italy, who eventually is replaced. And he goes to the Vatican. As a former Catholic, Catholics don't care anything about politics, for the most part. Internationally, the Catholic people, they don't care about the United States, the president of the U.S. or any of the European nations. They just want to get to Mass on Sunday, confession on Saturday night, live their lives. But what does Trump do? God arranges a visit with Pope Francis, the Jesuit satanic priest, who is a pedophile. There's so much about Francis that the world doesn't know, the Catholic people don't know about. He is an individual that knew the dark things and the deep things of Satan to the Catholic Church in Revelation chapter 2, Thyatira. The Catholic Church to the Catholic people that have not known the deep things of Satan, continue to do your good works and worship God in purity in your hearts the way you have always done. So he visits the Pope. And guess what happens? All of the Catholic world, they listen to the Pope. They listen to what Donald Trump and the Pope were doing. They paid attention. Jumping back to the visit in Riyadh with King Salman in the palace, all of the Muslim world, the Arab/Muslim world, not all Arabs are Muslim, they all paid attention to this king speaking to the Arab people. All the Jewish people internationally, when he's visiting Benjamin Netanyahu, they're watching. In Argentina, in Brazil, in the U.S., Boulder, Colorado, L.A., the Midwest, Houston, all the Jewish people were watching. Then all the Catholic people were watching. All the Italian people internationally were watching when he visited the president of Italy. Then he goes to visit the world leaders. Was it G8? All the corporations and all of the satanic leaders of the world that rule the world financially through corporate industry, they're all watching. And there's Macron, and there's the president of England, the prime minister of England and of France and of Germany and all these nations. They're all there. And one of them standing in front of Trump, and he puts his arm over and pushes the guy out of the way. That's not arrogant. That's the wisdom that God has given this man and the confidence that, to know that he was put in that position to represent the United States of America and the Lord. And God gave him his itinerary. He visited these nations with dignity, brought honor, glory. He did bring the respect. They didn't want to respect him, but they did. That's why my program today, the name of it, I'm going back to when he first became president in 2017, that the focus of the world, of all the leaders of the world, has been and still is Donald J. Trump. Now, I'm going to continue. I have another point I want to make. Why is it so important? Why am I always presenting this matter of Donald J. Trump? Again, because there is a prophecy, not only in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41, 2, and 3, about a stranger visiting the temple, praying toward the temple. Again, I can't emphasize enough, Solomon saw him. He wasn't just a nobody. He wasn't just somebody walking by. He was somebody that Solomon recognized that had the favor of God himself. That is why as Solomon continued the dedication, he stopped to mention a stranger. Yes, Israel, the temple, this is our temple. It is our point of reference. This, when we pray toward the temple, God will hear our prayers. If we sin and we turn back to our God, he will forgive our sins and he will restore our land back, restore us to our land. We will return to our land. Our land will once again be in our hands. But you have to know that God, for some odd reason, there is a stranger in another country that is coming to visit, and he knows our God. Now, he's not Jewish. He's not of the seed of our forefathers, but he knows our God, and he's coming to give respect, honor, and religious, I guess you would say, true worship to the God of our fathers. And you need to pay attention Jewish people in the far future. He's coming, and he's going to make the name of our God great. We have a duty to make the name of our God great, to establish his name, to pronounce his name. But this guy, this individual, is coming to do the same thing. He's coming to make the name of our God great, and all the people of the world are going to see it. There were other kings from that kingdom that came to Jerusalem, but they never prayed toward the temple. But this king, he did. This individual, he did. He has favor with God. And whatever he prays, God, Yahweh, answer his prayers. He has, as a king, look at the glory and splendor that I have that God has placed upon me. He has glory. He has honor. I'm being honored. This man has great honor, dignity. He is a man who will be respected by sane people. He has a glory as a ruler of his kingdom. Every king, the Bible says, has glory. Just a natural glory, a human glory. Every king. Donald Trump, the same. And this man, great dignity. And what is Satan trying to do presently? Oh, Donald Trump, now you have a woman coming out saying that she was in the Epstein scenario with Donald Trump. Alleged. Remember, don't forget that word, alleged. Again, how many women have come forward since 2015, 2014, and have accused and alleged and this and this and this, and then one or two of them come back, you know, and it's all lie. Alleged, once again. The children of the devil hate anybody that makes the name of the God of Israel and the God of the Christian people, Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, the King of the Jews, great. He is the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Gentiles. He rose from the dead. And Donald Trump, I don't question that he is a believer. He is a believer. He doesn't maybe understand what that means. He doesn't know really that he is born again. He may have never been actually baptized. He is a civil servant. And the Christian people don't know how to keep someone that's ordained for ministry and those that have been placed as in a civil environment. He's a civil servant. He's not a rabbi. He's not a pastor. He's not a chaplain. Not his duty. He's a president with dignity, with honor. He needs to be given the honor due, the respect due as president, which many Christian people don't do. Shame to the believers that don't know the scripture. Now, to finish out, the focus of the world leaders, Donald Trump. I'm going to go to, again, Revelation chapter 17. There is a riddle in the book of Revelation 17. The whole chapter 17 of Revelation is about one empire, one kingdom, one great powerful nation. It is called the United States of America. It has a sister chapter. Chapter 18. Chapter 17 shows its power and the authority in the realm of what a government is. Chapter 18 shows you the society. A society of luxury and elegance, perversion, a nation that doesn't have the values in its values are not in order. Low value people, low lives, many, not all. But it is a nation that is chasing wealth, comfort, entertainment, things, power, prestige, drugs, witchcraft, everything evil, selling the souls of individuals. The most important thing to Christ, he died for the souls of mankind and for their bodies. And in the culture, what's valuable is gold, silver, precious stones. Right down toward the bottom with people, it's animals. But going up the chain, it's clothing, it's transportation, it's your coffee shop, having the best foods, buffeting, travel. Now, that's the culture. It's a culture of death, eventually. Now, 17, verse 9 and 10. Okay, so this is out of the Common English Bible. Okay, this is verse 9. This is talking about seven kings. I'm going to use the term presidents, the final seven presidents of the United States of America. So verse 9. There is a call for wisdom and understanding, a mind that has understanding. The seven heads, or the seven kings, seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated, the woman being the United States of America. And the seven hills are the seven hills of Washington, D.C., or seven mountains. The seven hills in Washington, D.C., Cherry Hills, all these hills, they actually, Washington, D.C. is a center of spiritual powers, and these spiritual powers could be likened to mountains, extreme mountains being high, observable, and dominating. Seven mountains on which the seven kings, so there are mountains. It says also, there are also seven kings. Verse 10, five presidents have fallen. One president is, and the other has not yet come. When that king comes, he must remain for only a short time. So he doesn't get, like Donald Trump, didn't get his second term. So he was in for just that part of that 1 4-year term. Now he's president-elect again. He will not get the full 4 years. So he must remain a little while longer. The second time also. These are the final presidents of the United States of America. Now, if this is true, we can talk about the war in Israel. We can talk about a Psalm 83 war, which is a regional war where Israel eventually possesses the nation of Jordan. Many of these prophecies, people at this present time are poo-pooing them. They are laughing. Well, this president, this prophecy in Revelation chapter 17 is speaking of a nation, a kingdom, a power like has never existed in mankind's history. It did not happen and exist prior to the revelation of John. There have been kingdoms after, but Rome was on its demise, presently being waned out. England temporarily, France, Spain, Portugal temporarily, but not the United States of America. It's a different creature. And this creature in Revelation chapter 17 has seven final presidents. And these final seven presidents are placed by God. Six of the seven are what we term, or what would be termed as globalists, working again anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Messiah individuals who would attempt to bring in an occult world into the United States of America, making America a great center of occult activity, and then eventually America would become the first full-powered satanic country in the history of mankind, more satanic than Egypt with all of the gods and idols of Egypt, or Babylon the Great, or Greece, or Rome. The final kingdom in Revelation chapter 17 would be great above greatness, with a chalice, a cauldron, holding a cauldron, and in the cauldron would be every form of evil, sacrifice, death, drugs, every form of economic, I don't know if you say evil, destruction, military power, political power, influencing all the nations of the world, a nation, an empire that one objective, world hegemony. Every ocean, every landmass, the sky, information, technology, the souls of men, the way that mankind worships, and even in Isaiah 14, would try to actually own all the stars of heaven and become God himself, and actually rule over God. The concept initially presented in the book of Genesis about this Babel, a tower stretching to heaven, that is what all the technology presently is being used to do, to stretch and use our technology to replace the God of heaven, to change mankind's DNA to be a completely different creature, unable to ever worship and serve God. Donald Trump, being the seventh of these six presidents, like I mentioned earlier in the program, a president that acknowledges the God of heaven, that is being used by God to protect the nations of the world from sliding into evil and into disaster and judgment before the proper time. Donald Trump is holding it back presently. He's being used by God to fulfill prophecy again in what's happening in Iraq and what will happen in taking out Ali Khamenei, and also with working with Israel. He and this country will continue to work with Israel in spite of the protest. Protest, be unhappy. All of these individuals that are, and some of them are very Fuentes, anti-Semitic. A guy by the name of Nick Fuentes, anti-Semitic. He doesn't see God's plan. And because of that, he will fight God himself. But for now, this is the end of the program. The podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com. Today is the 6th of February, 2026. Contact information, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I will continue with the seventh king. God bless you. And the only help in the future is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, God bless you.